In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
This is a subject that everyone has been talking about. So here we go. After months of delay, the processed merger between South Dakota-based Samford Health and Minnesota-based Fairview Health will not happen. Now, this week's announcement comes with a lot of questions about the future of the two organizations. Fierce Healthcare is a national news outlet that provides articles on important subjects across the industry. Staff writer Dave Moyo has followed the progress of this story, and he joins us now on the John Schuster Caldwell Banker Hotline to discuss some of the impacts from the failed deal. Welcome, Dave. How are you, sir?
I'm doing great. Coming in hot from the East Coast. Happy to be here.
Oh, I'm so happy that you're joining us tonight. Okay, the bottom line is that Samford and the Fairview Health Services said Thursday that they are dropping plans to merge. Now, some people were really surprised by that. Were you?
Yes and no. I would say a lot of the delays were a bit abnormal, and there was definitely some pretty staunch opposition to the deal, both from ground level. Unions were very against it. You got legislators, governor, University of Minnesota Medical Center, University of Minnesota Health had also kind of been very concerned. And the two delays and then the second delay didn't have a, hey, we're aiming to close by X date. That is a lot of things kind of stacking up together that made it, you know, not totally unexpected.
Yeah. They talked a lot about Minnesota stakeholders. Can you tell me a little bit more about that?
Sure. So, as you just said, Samford Health is not based in Minnesota.
Right.
They are active in some of the markets in the state, but Fairview Health Services, which owns two of University of Minnesota's major facilities, University of Minnesota Medical Center, the flagship, and Masonic Children's Hospital, by that merger happening, there's concerns that those facilities would be controlled by an out-of-state entity. And when you go to the universities, they usually have their mission statements. And one of them is, of course, to do what's best in the public interest for residents of the state. So when we were seeing the Attorney General in Minnesota, Keith Ellison was holding hearings asking for public comment on what's everybody's thoughts on this deal. And very frequently, a lot of what came up is out-of-state interest. And not just that it's out-of-state, it's a large entity and creating an even larger entity, and will they always do what's best in the best interest for, say, residents of the Twin Cities?
Yeah, this announcement was a significant turn, it's in the article, from just a few days ago. On Tuesday, a Fairview representative sent an NPR news reporter a statement that seemed to signal the merger plans were on track. How is it that it can be on track and then so quickly not be, especially for something this big?
Well, what I think is interesting about that is that it was Fairview that said that a couple days ago. My understanding, one, the announcement initially came out of Samford, and my conversations with a representative over at Samford, it seems that the decision to call it quits was made on the Samford side initially by their board of directors, and then within a few hours on Thursday, they let Fairview know, and then the announcement came later that evening. So maybe, you know, reading the tea leaves here, but maybe a little bit of that, more of the block came from the Stanford side saying, oh, we're not getting the support from the stakeholders we're looking for here. Maybe it's time to unwind this a little bit. That being said, if you also look at the finances of these two organizations, I think that Stanford is operationally a little bit healthier than Fairview in terms of, you know, they made operating income. They made money from providing healthcare services in the last fiscal year. Fairview did not. Fairview lost over $300 million providing healthcare services to its communities. If you ask me, I think Fairview maybe financially would need it a little bit more, but it does seem to me that Stanford was the one who said, okay, there's just too many barriers here. We're trying to push our way through. I don't know if we discussed it yet. There was even legislation almost tailor-made in Minnesota to kind of blow up this deal a bit.
Tell me more about that. Are you suggesting the University of Minnesota's Mary Turner by any chance?
Could you clarify? What do you mean?
I'm sorry. I didn't hear you, sir.
What do you mean by University of Minnesota's Mary Turner? Could you just clarify that?
Well, in other words, I was wondering about University of Minnesota and how they are responding to the ending of this possible merger. And if they had a big voice, which I have been told they had a really big voice in this, is that what you were thinking about when you stated that?
A little bit less. I was thinking Fairview, which is separate from the university but runs some of the university's hospitals, just looking at their finances is what out. I was thinking in terms of the organization comes together, but you're totally right that the university itself was one of the ones saying, hey, this is moving way too fast. Earlier this year, the university actually reached out to the state government and asked for about $950 million to purchase back their hospitals because they were concerned about this deal going through and their facilities being run externally, externally meaning out of state. I won't profess to know anything about how they feel. Based on their prior actions and a lot of their concerns, I have to think that they're happier that this was the outcome that came to be. All that being said, there was legislators and Governor Tim Walz seemed to be a little bit concerned about this going on earlier in the year, just about a month or two ago, I guess. They did pass a law, HF 402, that basically gave the Attorney General more power to enjoin and unwind healthcare transactions like this that would hamper the school from pursuing its public care mission and if it was in an out-of-state entity. I just think there's a lot of different forces coming together, and I mentioned before briefly, unions not being on your side, never a great thing. Unions don't seem to love when health systems come together and be large scale, just a general fact, but they were very vocal about this one as well. Just a lot of parties fighting against it, and I think eventually Stanford decided to call it quits.
Just called it quits. It also says in the article, had the merger gone through, the combined company would have been based in Sioux Falls and led by Sanford management. I don't know why that shocked me, but it did. Did it shock you?
Not so much. If you look at the two organizations, Sanford was a little bit bigger. I have to imagine they had a bit more sway at the bargaining table there for that component. And, you know, they're based in Sioux Falls, South Dakota, but they extend into multiple states in the greater Midwest area. So, and just if you look at the scale of them, Sanford runs 47 hospitals, Fairview 11. Sanford employs about 17,000 more people. It sees a ton more patients. I think definitely they were the ones with a bit more sway. So then when the headquarters goes out of state, you could see why some of these stakeholders, as you said, the school, could be concerned.
Well, I tell you, this was the second time in a decade that Sanford and Fairview have failed to complete a proposed merger amid opposition in Minnesota. If that is the case, do you think they'll try again?
Not anytime soon. It's a little weird that they tried to go for it again within a decade. Maybe, I don't know if they're a combination of hoping that the ecosystem changed a little bit or just speaking in a macro, broader sense. A lot of health systems have been kind of eyeing some consolidation, merger and acquisition activity just over the course of the COVID-19 pandemic. especially as the financial situation changed a little bit for a lot of these hospitals and health systems. So you're seeing a lot more of them come together and try to leverage that economies of scale come together. Though, on the subject of bad history of failed mergers, it should be mentioned that Sanford's kind of had some pretty bad luck in the past couple of years in general. They tried to merge with Advocate Aurora Health. Oh, wait, sorry. Sorry, I'm reading my notes incorrectly. They tried to merge it with Intermountain Healthcare at a certain point, and that didn't go well.
Not
they had another
all.
Merger a little bit before that also kind of hit some roadblocks. They've just been, trying to get together someone, and just hasn't been able to put it together.
So is this something they want to do or something they have to do? Is that why they keep trying?
I think it's, I'm not in the room where the deals happen, if we're going to quote Hamilton on this, but I would say it's maybe leaning a little bit more towards want to do than have to do. Like I was just saying, in recent years, a lot of these larger health systems have been keeping an eye out for chances to grow for various concerns, for reasons. Maybe they're not bringing in as much money as consistently without high expenses as they would like to. And it was a chance to expand their reach into the Minnesota market. Healthcare, compared to a lot of other industries, is very local. Somebody in New Mexico has a heart attack, they're probably not getting their care in North Dakota, rare exceptions aside. So any chance that these organizations are seeing for a cross-market merger, where they're mostly not in competition with each other, but they can expand their catchment area in their communities, is something they're becoming increasingly interested in, especially since these cross-market mergers are less scrutinized by federal regulators than when the hospitals and health systems are in the same market and maybe suddenly could wield monopoly power. So it's bringing it back to the Sanford and Fairview deal. I thought it was interesting that this didn't have any opposition from federal regulators because it was cross-market and federal regulators aren't super big into that currently. But it was the state that stepped in and said, hey, we want you to slow down. We're running an inquiry. We need more answers in doing the investigation, and eventually put up enough roadblocks to make it peter out.
Yeah, and I'm grateful for that. You know, when in doubt, don't. There you go. Dave Moyo, thank you so much for joining us tonight, really. It was exceptional. And if they decide to do it again, I hope that you and I can talk again. So, again, thank you. You are the staff writer at Fierce Healthcare. Keep it up. Keep giving us information. I really appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you. Happy to be on.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers healthcare on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Total, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.